flat out. David Ernest, 334-279-7431. Make sure you call him.
Well, whatever your income needs to be, once you've identified that with us, it can become much easier to see how the best balance of your portfolio needs to be worked out. Okay. With a combined income from all of your no-so money assets be enough to satisfy your income need? For many Americans, the answer to this question is just a flat no. Why? Because they know so.
They know so.
They know they haven't done what they should do, and they're just running around hoping so, hoping that that old guy with a beard saves them. But it's hope so.
And you're hoping, and you know, if you got hope in one hand and a wish in the other, you know what you got.
Yeah, because frequently a retiree's income need surpasses what their current assets should be able to provide. There's just too many hands out there still, and right. They know that's going to be so.
Yeah. And David, okay. Speaking of hands, I'm looking at the clock up there. Wasn't that clever? And the hands are showing me that it's almost time to go.
So, in short, we're going to say this. The income gap, the shortfall.
The shortfall, you
that
say?
You know so could happen.
Uh-huh.
And how you choose to fill that gap needs to be filled. So call me. Call me, Montgomery, and let's fill in the gap and make sure that you know so your money will never not be there when you need it.
334-279-7431. Put you in touch with David Ernest, and it is about time to go, sir. We're going to back out of here, make room for the next guy, and we'll be back next time with more Health and Wealth with David Ernest. Thanks for joining us.
Matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.
Well, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is the economy is on the up and up, but the bad news is your adjustable rate is on its way up too. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and if you currently have an adjustable rate mortgage, listen up. An adjustable rate mortgage provides you with a lower rate and payment at the start, but it fluctuates each adjustment period based on financial reports. The better the economy, the better the financial reports, the higher your adjustable rate. Your low monthly payment could skyrocket overnight. Don't be caught off guard. By refinancing to a fixed rate with Alabama Home Mortgage, you can go to sleep with the peace of mind that your rate will not change, no matter the state of the economy. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get the peace of mind of a fixed rate Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey guys, Baron Coleman here for my friends over at 4 Healthy Pets. 4 Healthy Pets is on the Atlanta Highway, just up the hill from Faulkner University in the HealthWise Foods Shopping Center. 4 Healthy Pets is where you'll find all your favorite companies like Fromm, Nature's Logic, Victor, Nulo, Earthborn Venture, Nutrisource, Waruva, Farmina, Open Farm, First Mate, K9 Naturals, and more. 4 Healthy Pets even has freeze-dried and frozen brands like Answers, Primal, Northwest Naturals, Nature's Logic, and more. Come get your favorite brands at 4 Healthy Pets or check them out online, 4HealthyPetsOnline.com.
Hi, everybody. No surprises in the forecast as we go through this last weekend in June. Still, there is a risk you can encounter an isolated storm. The storms will fade out in the overnight hours tonight. Overnight low temperature down to about 73. Tomorrow and Saturday will be hot, but there will be scattered relief. A few extra storms on the radar, so your chances are slightly better. Otherwise, partly sunny, hot, low to mid-90s both days, lows at night in the low 70s. The first day of July, Monday, is hot, high 95, and Tuesday's high 96. There will only be widely scattered storms for the lucky towns. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
With ASA Credit Union's free Kasasa cash checking account, you can earn 4% APY on balances up to $30,000. Qualifications and rules apply. See an ASE rep for more details. Federally insured by NCUA. Online at yourasecu.com. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE.
The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
And now, from the plush, dimly lit studios of Blue Water Broadcasting, high atop the glorious Bluedale Building in Hysterical Montgomery, Alabama, the capital of dreams, by the way. Hey, it's on our trash cans. Once again, it's time for the River Region's only program dedicated to the seeking of truth, no matter what it uncovers or who it may implicate. And I probably should add, or no matter whose feelings get hurt, because that happens a lot these days. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's time for the weeknight edition of Clearing the Air. And as always, I am your intrepid host, an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, a man dealing with a mind and body infested with a progressive bioweapon, the powers that shouldn't be called Morgellons. My name is Terry Adams, the stuttering through the program Terry Adams. Welcome, speaking of the program, welcome to the program. I'm joined in the cool Blue Water Studios by the little, short, mean woman herself, my wife of 27 years, Lynn. She's here to support yours truly as I struggle through this deep valley I can't seem to climb out of. Say hello to the people, Lynn.
Hello to the people.
Oh, good job. Wow. I've been listening to Jason. This is the weeknight edition of Clearing the Air, the companion program to the original Saturday night edition that runs from 6 to 9 on this very station. Now, as a reminder, I will be here from 6 till 9 tomorrow night, but it will just be me by myself as Postman has some business to take care of over in the state of Georgia. So, just me. Now, here's where it gets real, folks. Do not believe anything you hear on this, actually any program, because number one, you got to learn to trust your own instincts. Number two, you need to learn to do your own research and come to your own understanding of what's true and what isn't. Remember, your perception of the world around you is your version of reality, which is why the powers that shouldn't be are experts in what's called perception management. Google it. Go ahead, I dare you. Don't let them master yours, okay? All right, serious stuff again tonight. Here we go. Keep Junior away from the radio, all you moms out there. For over a decade, better than half of that on the radio, I have been trying to awaken people to what really happened on the morning of 9/11. Now, after WikiLeaks blew the lid off the demon craps being in cahoots with the, misnamed Justice Department in an attempt to take down candidate Trump and then later a sitting president, that would be Donald J. Trump, I was naive enough to believe that this would trigger that little bit of skepticism in all of your average American's mind about our government, the fact that they've been lying to us, and maybe, just maybe, that would push them over the edge to start having an open mind about 9/11. But see, 9/11 is wrapped, they wrapped it in patriotism. So many people, they refuse to even think about it being anything other than 19 radical Muslims hijacking 3 airplanes or 4 airplanes, crashing them into the buildings in the Pentagon. Well, that's not what happened, but be that as it may, there's something, let me back up a little bit. I was wrong about thinking that would wake people up, but then again, as I've told you, I'm very naive. Now, I have explained how steel frame buildings simply cannot collapse, never have in the history of buildings collapsed due to fire, until that day, that one day in 2001, where 3 collapsed in one day. The odds are incalculable. I can say that. They're so high. But Americans bought it. Buildings cannot. It's against so many different laws of physics. They cannot collapse at free fall speed unless they are detonated, unless explosives are detonated in a very specific order to bring them down. That is a verifiable fact. But apparently Americans don't care about that. I could go on and on and on. As a matter of fact, I have gone on and on and on about this to no avail. I just knew that once y'all found out about the illegal and treasonous actions of Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Mueller, it would open your eyes to the other events that were not what we have been assured by our government they were. Okay. So what if I told you that these same Clinton-pushing anti-Trump, anti-American, anti-nationalism, treasonous players had a hand in the events of 9/11? Would that help maybe open your mind to this? We're about to find out. Alexandria Bruce, Forbidden Knowledge, she posted this video, and I'm going to play it for you. I am. You ready for this?
So as you saw the other day, a helicopter crashed into the top of a building in Manhattan while trying to make an emergency landing. And of course, every time this happens, and it's happened a lot over the last 2 years, it leads us to the now infamous Q post that states that 7 out of 10 plane crashes or helicopter crashes, whatever, are not accidents. But now we have this great post from Joe M at The Storm Is Upon Us on Twitter. It says, things to know about the New York City helicopter crash. It collided with the top floor, which is owned by Sidley Austin, Obama's corrupt former Chicago-based law firm. The same firm who had floors 54 to 59 in the World Trade Center North Tower on 9/11, where not one of their 600 lawyers died. Of course, not their lawyers died. They're hooked up with the world government. If you look here, what else do we know about 9/11? Marvin Bush, the head of Securicom, the company that did digital security for the towers, and his dad was George Bush Sr., who was hooked up to the CIA, which is one of their intelligence branches. You have the majority of the hijackers were Saudi nationalists. That links up to the House of Saud, most of whom had their visas approved by none other than John Brennan. What about possible ties to the world government's other intelligence agencies? A little over a year before September 11th, an Israeli art group named Gelatin, which is also coincidentally the name of high-powered explosives, began an ongoing project on the 91st floor of the World Trade Center to add a balcony to one of the floors. You can even see here in the Metro, which is a daily newspaper people hand out like the subways in the morning, they even did a little write-up about it. You have a picture down here of them working with all these boxes stacked around them, talking about the group Gelatin and working on their project, the B thing, which I suppose, according to them, is B for balcony, which I would suggest after these next few slides might stand for something else. Now, if you look a little closer at this picture, it says BB-18 on it. Now, BB-18 is a popular fuse housing for when you have a million wires and you need to organize them for something. I don't know how many wires you would need to put a balcony outside, but my guess would be zero. Now, one night while they were working on this, they went to a whole bunch of floors and put E-team, showing that they had access to all these floors, which is exactly where the first plane hit. They lit up floors 90 to 94, and the first plane, or the first explosion, happened on floors 93 to 99. After this was all done, they published a 62-page book about it, which is extremely hard to get, as you can imagine, which includes pictures of them doing it and all about it, and then some of their sketches. Now, keep in mind, these are supposed art students, okay? Now, I know art doesn't always mean drawing. It can mean many things, but nevertheless, these look like the scribbled-out blueprints of a heist or something shady. Here's one with the tower. It says, very depressing inside, very amazing outside. All right, that's weird. We want to break through to the amazement from the inside. Okay, like a bomb breaking out. And it says, depression inside, amazement outside. And here's the second sketch of a building basically starting to crumble with debris falling all around it. Now, this isn't shady at all, guys. Here's another sketch of someone jumping out of the Twin Towers. Here's a sketch, and there's a lot of them. The creeper, I'm going to show a few of the towers and then all the lower levels behind it. On the top here, it says, God, bring airplane food. Right next to it, it says, last chance to open a parachute. If you go down here, it just says a whole bunch of creepy stuff. Highest worm population. All right, so this is a sketchbook which shows a crumbling tower and shows the towers here with a hole where their balcony supposedly is, but is where the plane hits. It says, bring airplane food. The only pictures of them are standing next to 100 fuse boxes that are used to rig up things like, bombs. Their name is Gelatin, which is a high-powered explosive, and is called the B-Thing, working on the exact same floors where the first explosion hit. And here's one of the passengers on that first plane, Danny Lewin, pictured in front of what looks like two gray towers. Danny Lewin is a former Israeli Special Forces in the division which was in charge of counterterrorism beyond Israel's borders. Now, in this series of pictures, he's wearing a watch called the Hijacker. Danny was seated in row 9 of flight 11.
Gene, you're saying that you didn't see anything initially. You didn't see a plane actually approach the building.
I had no idea it was a plane. I just saw the entire top part of the World Trade Center explode. So I turned on the TV when I heard they said it was a plane. It was really strange.
So you've probably heard me in past videos talk about math, and I do math all day long, and I'm a mathematician and all that. Well, that is because I am a skyscraper engineer who has been building skyscrapers in Manhattan for 7 15 years. So I have to say, if there's ever been anything I've been more qualified to speak on, it's the collapse of the Twin Towers. Of course, this is just my personal assessment based on the things I know about skyscrapers and after studying that video over and over again and comparing it to other research I've done on the matter. Now, first things first, those buildings were tanks. I mean, those might have been the two sturdiest, strongest buildings on the planet. Now, majority of buildings get most of their strength from the core, around like the elevator shaft. That's where the heaviest steel will be, and it'll come up the middle of the building. And it creates like a spine, so this is where most of the strength from the building comes. Now, if you look at the Twin Towers, they were built like that, like every other building. They were also built with an exoskeleton of some of the heaviest steel in any building in the whole city. To make even anything other than a dent, let alone a hole that size in those buildings, you'd have to drive an aircraft carrier into them. A plane like that would just shred itself like paper, would barely even enter the building. The majority of it would crumple and it would just fall down to the ground. I don't care how much jet fuel's on board. I don't care what. Look at this airplane being scrapped here. Look at this thing going through it like paper. They're nothing. They're little tin nothings, these planes. There is no way on earth that thing could blow a hole into the most solid building ever created. So now the second part is, let's say in some miraculous occurrence, it does blow that hole into the side. So now you got the top, however many, 10 floors or whatever, about to fall onto the bottom 90. And this is everyone's favorite theory. It says it's a pancake. You know, the building just pancaked. It's like cringe every time I hear that. First of all, that's not even what pancaking looks like. When floors pancake, the horrible occurrence that this is, They stop. They go, floor, 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 floor. See, look at this video right here. If you can see briefly, there's a lot of smoke. It drops the floor and stops for a second. Then it drops again. See, look at this one collapsing. It collapses a floor and it falls over. These are the two most common occurrences with a pancake. It either goes floor, stop, floor, stop, floor, stop, floor, stop, floor, stop, floor, stop, floor, stop. Or it hits a floor and then falls over. The only thing that would have ever happened with those buildings, a steel building no less, where pancaking usually happens with a reinforced concrete building, not a steel building, in the first place. But the only thing that would have happened is that it would either the top would have dropped the floor, dropped the floor, dropped the floor, dropped the floor, and you would have seen it in a horribly slow fashion, and eventually would have just hit the ground, or what would have most likely happened, it would have fell a floor and the whole top would have fell off onto the street. But neither of those things did happen, did it? No, it free fell. It's only one thing on earth that can make a building fall, free fall, perfectly into its own footprint, and that's controlled demolition, period. It's not even up for debate. And then World Trade Center 7, which everyone wants to dismiss, meanwhile, this is a building that would be one of the tallest buildings, if not the tallest building in most of the states in America. It's like an afterthought. Didn't have a hole in it where the top floor could have pancaked. No, it had fire. It had fire debris, supposedly, inside. The fires weakened it. And did it start to crumble from the fire? No. Did it fall over? No. Did it pancake? Obviously not. It also fell in free fall speed, perfectly into its footprint. I mean, how are we still even talking about this 18 years later? Furthermore, if you look in the 7, you can see this video where the squibs are popping out. It's exactly what happens in the controlled demolition. That's them. They cut the inside beams, and then they have bombs to go off one by one. And you can see them blowing out the windows of the building as they're exploding, first collapsing everything, and then it falls. Also, you have Silverstein in this interview saying that he gave the order to pull it, which is the only terminology for pull it is a controlled demolition. Okay, pull it, and then they hit the thing and it collapses.
Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
So then you have this news station reporting it as collapsed already, so clearly they knew what was going on, when it's right behind her. That's it. That's the Solomon Brothers building, or World Trade 7.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Solomon Brothers building and its collapse? Well, only really what you already know. Details are very, very sketchy. As you can see behind me, the Trade Center appears to be still burning. We see these huge clouds of smoke and ash, and we know that behind that there's an empty piece of what was a very familiar New York skyline.
But now going back to the Twin Towers, you have these guys talking about bombs going off. Yeah, multiple bombs, two, three bombs going off, one after another. It's exactly what happens in a controlled demolition. They start from the bottom, it goes pop, 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 and then it just starts to fall. That's exactly what they're describing. That's exactly what many people were describing that day. People saying, nah, that was a bomb. People saying there was an big explosion right before it collapsed. If you slow up the video here, you could see little puffs coming out of the windows. Exactly what happens is those things are blowing and separating the already cut I-beam.
In my office on the northwest corner of the 82nd floor, I heard a noise like a sonic boom almost, and then a blast. The building swayed, shook a little bit. I saw papers coming fly out of the middle of the building, and then we went to the staircase to try to get down. We were going down. We got stuck on one floor because the door and the staircase wouldn't even open. So we went back onto the floor, and we saw some fire and rubbish, and we went to the other staircase to come down. We made it all the way downstairs. And then when we were just about to come out of the building, there was another blast, and all the lights went out, and this is what happened then.
The glass came down?
We didn't see we were still inside the building. All we heard was a big blast, and the whole volume of air moved. And we came out through the subway.
No second plane. It was a bomb. Bomb in another building, not second plane. That was a bomb. Who said the second plane?
That's what we're told. The second plane, we saw it on television.
I saw everything.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
And of course, they knew right away it was Muhammad Atta. They found his passport on the street. Oh, okay. So everything in the whole plane's incinerated to dust. Everything on the screen is a fireball the size of giant stadium. But his passport somehow survived. They couldn't come up with something better than that? And of course, right away, it was Osama bin Laden. Never mind the fact that known truther Bill Cooper said it was either June or July of 2001 that they're going to have a major event and blame it on Osama bin Laden. Never mind that he was curiously killed in his own driveway 1 month after 9/11. Never mind the fact that the FBI director at the time was Robert Mueller, who was appointed only 1 week before the attacks, who is the person who reported on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You know, all your leftist hero, Robert Mueller, who then did an investigation into it that went on for years and led nowhere. Surprise, surprise. But all that aside, right now, just talking about these buildings, the only things that I can add to the conversation is that those were the strongest buildings, two of the strongest buildings ever built. A plane would be like paper to them. It would never even penetrate it, let alone explode two full floors of it. That this is not even what a pancaking building looks like and would never fall like this. This building was an absolute tank. So in my personal opinion, these were absolutely rigged for demolition. I remember at the time, there was one of the big things that was going around here, which you could imagine, the volume of stories around here, it got to be 1,500 times the amount of anywhere else in the country. And one of the ones that always stuck out in my mind were a lot of people who worked in the Trade Center were coming out and saying that they were like, as they were leaving at night, you know, people would be coming in, and there was just times for months at a time where they'd always see these people, these construction workers, going up to work late at night, or a lot of them, I think they were saying they looked like electricians or lackeys.
Yeah, what he's talking about is there was a period of time, a 2 or 3 week period, a couple of months, maybe a month before 9/11, where they were supposedly were doing an upgrade on the alarm system and an upgrade on the elevator shafts. Now, if you know anything about the way this building or most high-rises are built, a lot of your strength comes from the elevator shafts because, of course, it goes from the bottom to the top. Very, very thick steel beams. If you're going to set off a micro nuke to take that building down, you could not have picked a better spot than the very bottom sub-basement level of the elevator shaft. because it's going to channel all that energy straight up the building. It's going to, whatever's at the top, is going to be just dissipated. That's exactly what happened to that super, super tall tower they had on top. Just vanished. Poof, into dust. Micro nukes.
Whatever, that whole year leading up to that. Another thing, if anyone works in the city, well, Manhattan, I don't know about other cities, but there's always food carts on every corner. Everywhere you go, don't matter. You can get a bagel on the corner in front of your job, egg sandwich, whatever. There's always these food carts every single morning, these breakfast carts. That morning, they were all gone. They got the word that something was going to happen here.
You know, Larry Silverstein canceled his meeting. Every morning he had a meeting at Windows in the World. Oh, but that day, his wife made an appointment for him to go to the, I think it was like the skin doctor or something. Yeah, right. Okay.
That particular morning, because I have light-colored hair and fair skin, and I'm a annuity to the dermatologist, my wife, God bless her, had made an appointment for me at the doctor. And I remember dressing to go to the doctor. I'm finally saying to my wife, I said, sweetheart, I've got so much to do downtown. I got to cancel this. I've got to go downtown. And she said, you're not going to cancel this appointment. You're going to the dermatologist.
So he happened to miss that meeting that he went to every single morning on that particular morning. It also come down just before he bought those that a whole bunch of asbestos had to be removed, which was an insane amount of money. It would have been impossible. He would have had to take the buildings down or shut them down or something. And here you have a FEMA worker being interviewed about the horrors that he's helping to clean up in the city. And he states that he arrived the night before 9/11.
To be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. And not until today did we get a full opportunity to work the entire site.
So let's just think about this for a second. FEMA arrived in New York Monday night before the attack. This was 100% a planned attack. This guy's doing this interview on Wednesday, September 13th. He talks about arriving Monday night, goes through Tuesday, and then mentions Wednesday. So he didn't mess the days up. They were there tonight before, ready for this event. What was happening in this classroom on the morning of September 11th? Well, they were having the whole class recite, kite, hit, steal, plane.
Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Hit.
Yes, hit. Get ready.
Steal.
Yes, steal. Get ready.
Plane.
Yes, plane. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Go to your speaker reader up from under your seat. Open your book up to lesson.
Oh, there's George Bush. And there's him getting told that the country is under attack. Right after the class recites kite, hit, steal, plane. What happened right after September 11th? They signed the Patriot Act, giving away everyone's privacy. Fun fact, the Patriot Act was actually mostly drafted by Joe Biden in 1995. So quick recap. Joe Biden is the one who drafted the Patriot Act. John Brennan is the one who approved the visas for the supposed hijackers. And Robert Mueller is the FBI director who conducted an investigation into 9/11 that led nowhere. It's funny because all I ever hear about is the Bush connections. It's almost as if they're controlled by the same people. So what else happened on September 11th? Well, the day before, Donald Rumsfeld had announced that they were missing $2.3 trillion. Well, wouldn't you know it was the budget's analyst office where they were, quote-unquote, looking for this $2.3 trillion that exploded the next day, or the flight that went down in Pennsylvania. You can see the crater right here. Well, there's the two wings. Well, what they don't tell you is that that crater was there already. The only thing that's new is the bomb hole in the middle. Finally, I'll leave you with Donald Trump's own words that day of the attack, followed by a montage of eyewitness accounts. And you could tell me whether or not this was caused by a plane crash or by planted bombs. Where we go one, we go all.
Donald, you're probably the best known builder, particularly of great buildings in the city. There's a great deal of question about whether or not the damage and the ultimate destruction of the buildings was caused by the airplanes, by architectural defect, or possibly by bombs or aftershocks. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it was
an architectural defect. You know, the World Trade Center was always known as a very, very strong building. Don't forget, that took a big bomb in the basement. Now, the basement is the most vulnerable place because that's your foundation. And it withstood that. And I got to see that area about 3 or 4 days after it took place because one of my structural engineers actually took me for a tour because he did